Ohio is known as the Buckeye State. And I know it's because of the Buckeye itself, which once covered all of the hills of the state of Ohio. But the name Buckeye stems from Native American Indians who called the nut Hectuck, H-E-T-U-C-K. It means Buckeye because of the markings on the nut resemble the eye of a deer. I didn't know that. All you Ohioans, did you know that? You did? Judy gets an A, the rest of you. I'm from Tennessee, okay? And Tennessee is known as the Volunteer State. It originated during the War of 1812, in which the volunteer soldiers from Tennessee, serving under General Andrew Jackson, displayed marked valor in the Battle of New Orleans, or depending on who where you're from, New Orleans, okay? This reputation for volunteering was reinforced during the Mexican War when the Secretary of State asked for 2,800 Tennessee volunteers and got 30,000 responses. That's my state, okay? That's my state. Yes, yeah, your state, too. It's your state, too. But tonight we're going to talk about Missouri. The title of the message tonight is, Do You Have a Missouri Mentality? Okay? The state of Missouri is known as the Show Me State. It's a phrase that was coined in 1899 by then Missouri Congressman Willard Duncan Vandiver while delivering a speech in Philadelphia. I come from a state, he said, that raises corn and cotton and cuckleburrs. Now, cuckleburrs is a fruit. It's a fruit from a bush, okay? So just so you know what it is, a cuckleburr. And Democrats. And frothy eloquence neither convinces nor satisfies me. I am from Missouri. You have got to show me. I am from Missouri. You have got to show me. Sadly, many of us in the body of Christ, in varying degrees, are waiting for Scripture to show us, to manifest in our lives before we will be completely convinced that Scripture is true. All of us, whether you want to admit it or not, all of us, because if it's not true, then every time you pray for some, every time you say, healing. I call you healed in the name of Jesus. That person gets healed automatically. Automatically. But because all of us are in varying stages of our spiritual growth, there's all of us have some show me in us. But we're slowly getting it out of us, I hope. I hope. Many of us have seen the power of God operating through others. And we talk about it, ladies and gentlemen, like it's a fond memory. Do you remember when? I still remember the day that. And if you don't believe me when I say things like that, think about years past when Pastor Dave attended our conferences here. In the evening services, it was a packed house. Because everyone wanted to see someone get healed. And they came back year after year because of what they had heard and what they had seen in past conferences. When Brother Dave missed a conference, the evening service, it dropped. Because people knew they were not going to see what they had seen in the past. They did not understand that what Brother Dave, where he is at spiritually, they can be at that same place. But one of the things about the body of Christ, we've gotten used to depending on others people's faith. And I think that's one of the things, one of the messages that we really heard this year in our conference. Like, you know, Brother Gary said, Jesus didn't tell us to pray. He told us to heal. He told us to heal. He told Barry to do that. Barry, Jeff, Judy, Michelle. He told us to do those things. We have the same life in us that he has in him. Amen? When we find ourselves thinking fondly of God's power moving in days gone by, we break our Father's heart because we are living far below his life that lives in us. We are living far below his life that lives in us. He doesn't want the power to be a memory. He don't want us to be looking for the next opportunity, for the next time to see it happens. He wants it to be part of who we are. And it's not to be an ego trip. It's not to call some attention to Barry or to Stephen or Cindy. That's not the purpose at all. He wants the power to flow because he wants people born again. He wants people to see that there is a God here in Dayton, Ohio, in Beaver Creek. No matter what you hear, there is a God here. And he lives in us. He lives in us. Now, we know what the Bible says, right? Look in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 17, it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Therein. What is the therein? Let's jump, go back up to verse 13. "Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the Gentiles, other Gentiles. I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein what? Therein in the gospel of Christ. For therein the gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God revealed." In other words, what Paul is telling us, when you hear the gospel, you are hearing, you are seeing a revelation of who God is. You are seeing a revelation of who God is. It's not just another book that has Holy Bible written on the front of it. It's a Bible, it's a book that shows you who your Father is. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And we know that the just shall live by faith. But you notice it said the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, you are, as long as you are here, as long as you occupy your body, you are always going to be going from faith to faith. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. There's always more of God to have. I like that. I like that. Because where Barry is right, where I am right now in my life, I know that there is more. Last year, there was more. I've gotten a little bit more this year, ladies and gentlemen. I've gotten a little bit more this year. But I'm greedy. I want more. I want more. So we know that the just shall live by faith. And we know that that faith comes from hearing the word of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Now turn to John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, we're going to take a quick look at Thomas. Okay, we're going to take a quick look at Thomas. In John chapter 20, we're going to jump down to verse 26. Jesus, when we get down to verse 26, has already visited the disciples once before. Thomas was not with them. This time, Thomas is with them. Verse 26, "And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Why were the doors shut? Go back up to verse 19. Then the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for what reason? Fear of the Jews. They were in fear of the Jews. Now, it says the disciples, ladies and gentlemen. These were the men who walked with Jesus. These were the men to whom Jesus said, "You know, when I am gone, you're going to carry the torch," in a manner of speaking. These are the same guys. And they're behind closed doors because they are afraid of the Jews. What does that tell you? That tells you that they did not completely believe the gospel that Jesus spoke. That tells you that when Jesus told them, I'm going to die, but I'm going to get up on the third day, there was some doubt. I mean, when you read in this gospel, Peter even talked about going fishing again. I'm going to go fishing. This is not turning out the way I thought it would turn out, so I'm going to go back fishing. There are many in the body of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, who are fishing today because they don't completely believe that this book is all it's cracked up to be. They have gone fishing. They haven't walked away from God. They haven't denounced Jesus. But by their lives and how they live, they have gone fishing. They don't have the same zeal that they had when they first got born again, when they were first introduced to the gospel. They don't have that burning desire to tell the world about Jesus anymore. They don't have that. The world has convinced them that you need to go fishing. So they have gone fishing. And I just pray to God that there are people in this room who are not fishing. Who are not fishing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have gone fishing, you are the fish with the hook in your mouth. If you've gone fishing, you're the one who's being fished because you have been taken away from the gospel. So I pray to God, I'm not speaking to anyone who's been fishing. Okay? And after 8 days, again the disciples, verse 26 again, were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. Now you understand why Jesus would say, peace be unto you. You have no reason to fear. Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hand. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. That word faithless is apistos. A-P-I-S-T-O-S. It's the word pistos, which means believing, which means faith. And you put an A in front of it, it communicates the opposite of faith. What it also communicates, ladies and gentlemen, that Thomas had heard enough of the word to have faith, but Thomas did not have faith. Do I need to say that again? Thomas had heard enough of the word. He had spent 3.5 years with Jesus. And so when Jesus said, don't be faithless, he's saying, Thomas, you know better. You know better. You spent 3.5 years with me and you don't have any faith, Thomas? You know better. You know better. And that's why he said, don't be faithless, Thomas. Be believing. This word believing is pistos. So he could have said, be not faithless, but have faith. Walk in that faith, Thomas. But Jesus, you were gone. We didn't see you. We didn't believe what you said was true. That's why we were behind closed doors for fear. You were gone, Jesus. You left us. And we know in chapter 13, 14, 15, Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send someone just like me to pick up where I left off. Thomas, I told you that. So why don't you have faith? Ladies and gentlemen, this book tells us the same thing. Why don't we have faith? This book tells us the same thing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. It's in, before I leave this, go to Matthew chapter 8 real quick, please. Hold your finger here. In Matthew chapter 8, I want you, this is the first time that this word pistuo is used in Matthew chapter 8, and I want you to see what it is in reference to. Okay? This is Jesus. The centurion has come to Jesus on behalf of his servant who is dying. And he is pleading with the master to heal his servant. And Jesus says, okay, I will come and heal your servant. And the centurion says, you don't have to do that. Just speak the word. He says, I am a man under authority. I understand that when someone who has the authority to speak the word, it gets done. When someone has the authority and speaks the word, it gets done. Jesus said, the works that I do, ye shall do also. If Jesus, someone who speaks the word and has the authority, it gets done. Is this being redundant? I'm being redundant on purpose, people. The authority that Jesus had, you have it. And if you don't have it, you know what that means? You're not born again. You're not born again. But Jesus said, the works that I do, ye shall do also. So the centurion says, I know I'm a man under authority. When I speak, what I say gets done. And Jesus, I know you are a man under authority. Now look what Jesus says in verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. He marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. The question, ladies and gentlemen, what indicated to Jesus that the man had faith? He took Jesus at his word. I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I have not found anyone in Israel who took my word as gospel. Who took my word as gospel. This life we live as Christians, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. You know why we are not seeing more of Christ living in us than we should? Because to varying degrees, and you're not going to like the word I'm going to use, but we're in rebellion. Plain and simple. We are in rebellion. And as long as we are in rebellion, we are not going to see Jesus living through us. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Now look at verse 29. This is why I wanted to go back to Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. That would be us, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we need to believe completely so that when people see us, they see Jesus. You see that word blessed? That word blessed, it means possessing the favor of God, that state of being marked by fullness from God. That state of being marked by fullness from God. In other words, you are blessed because God has given you everything he can possibly give you, ladies and gentlemen. It indicates the state of the believer in Christ, and as a result, the, the person should be fully satisfied no matter the circumstances. You are fully satisfied no matter the circumstances. What are you telling me, Brother Barry? The circumstances that come into your life mean absolutely nothing because you're blessed. You're blessed. But the circumstances, I'm seeing, you're blessed. You are blessed, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know any other way to say it. You are blessed. And see, God says you are blessed. And when you read over in Numbers, when Balaam was told to curse the children of Israel, Balaam said, what God has blessed, I cannot curse. What God has blessed, I cannot curse. Do you think Satan can curse you? You are blessed, ladies and gentlemen. You are blessed. To be Markurios, which is the Greek word, blessed, is the equivalent of having God's kingdom within one's heart. Praise God. Having God's kingdom in one's heart. Remember, Jesus told us, he said, the kingdom of God, you won't see it coming. It's within you. The kingdom of God is in you. You are blessed, ladies and gentlemen. No matter what your feelings say, no matter what your emotions say, you are blessed. You have to be like David. David says, soul, why are you cast down? It's no reason for you to be cast down, soul. You are blessed. How many of you know you're blessed? Amen. Praise God. So, we know these things, ladies and gentlemen. We know that the faith, that the just live by faith, we know that we are blessed. Then why does it seem that we never come to the place of being fully persuaded that the Word of God is true? What is it keeping us from getting to the place of believing that the Word of God is totally true? We're going to look at three possible reasons over the next few minutes. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 23. We just talked about that, but we'll quote it. Numbers 23. And in, we won't see that one, but we're going to see something else. We're going to look at possible reasons as to why we have not fully come to the place of believing that the Bible is true. In verse 19 of Numbers chapter 23, it says, God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie. Should lie. Should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and shall it not, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? God is not a man that he should lie. Has he not said that if he's going to do something, he is going to do it? Okay, God is not a man that he should lie. He's incapable of lying. He's not like Barry. You know, Barry is capable of lying. God is not. And see, sometimes we read our ability, our capability into our Heavenly Father. He's not like us. Lying is no problem for him, the lack of doing so. Okay, look in 1 Samuel chapter 15. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, this is the record of where King Saul has disobeyed Samuel, disobeyed the word of the Lord, and God has said he's no longer going to be king. And so Saul is so upset that when Samuel walks away, Saul runs after him, grabs him, tears his robe, and Samuel turns around and says, and verse 28, and Samuel said unto him, the Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. I just love that. The strength of Israel. The strength of Israel. God is our strength, ladies and gentlemen. He's our portion. He's our provider. The strength of Israel is our strength. That's our God, folks. Look in Ezekiel chapter 24. Ezekiel saw the wheel way up in the middle of heaven. Am I the only one who knows that song? Okay. Oh, by the way, there is no charge for that. You got that just because you showed up, okay? Encore. Ezekiel chapter 24. Look at verse 14. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and it shall come to pass. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and it shall come to pass. And I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doing shall they judge thee, saith the Lord. The part I want you to see is, I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, it says, let's read verse 1. Paul, a servant, a doulos, a bond servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God cannot lie, promised before the world began. I want to read that verse 2 out of the Amplified. It says, resting in the hope of eternal life, life with the ever truthful God who cannot deceive, promised before the world or the ages of time began. The thing that struck me when I read this verse from the Amplified, it says that we rest in the hope of eternal life. We rest, we calm down. We get to the point that we just trust God that eternal life is coming. And we trust God that he is truthful and that what he says is going to come to pass. We rest in that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm married to Doris Johnson, okay? And Doris Johnson was a Johnson before we got married, so now she's Doris Johnson Johnson. But I rest in knowing she is my wife. There is never a day that I question that, ladies and gentlemen. Never. There should be never a day that we question that God is going to tell us the truth. That should never enter our minds that he is not going to tell us the truth. One more verse. Look in Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to begin with verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. The oath that he's talking about is a covenant. Okay, it's a binding covenant that ends all strife. Okay? It's not just the person's word now, it's something that they have done to demonstrate, to display that the word that they've given is true. Okay? Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, what two immutable things? He gave his word, and then he had a covenant with Abraham. He did two things, two immutable things. But God, covenants don't, you can't break them. Okay, that's why the blood of Jesus is so important to us as Christians. But that's for another day. By two immutable truth things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, he might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to hold upon the hope set before them. Verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. What is the hope that we have as an anchor of the soul? That what God says, God will do. That's what we, that's the anchor, that's the hope that we have that anchors our soul, that keeps us calm, still in one place. We know that when God says something, he is going to do it. Which leads to the, one of the first reasons as to why we are not seeing the Bible fully in our lives. Could it be that we really don't trust God to keep his word the way we think and say we do? Could it be that we really don't trust God to keep his word the way we think and say we do? Based on the scripture references we just read, we know that God keeps his word, ladies and gentlemen. So the issue then is not with him, it's with us. It's with us. And see, for some of us, that question may not feel good. That question may tick us off, may make us angry, because it's showing that maybe you really don't believe the way you think you do. It's nothing wrong with that. The only thing that's wrong with that question is not acknowledging that it is a possibility. That it is a possibility. Let's look at another reason that we may not be seeing it. The fullness of the scripture in our lives. Psalm 138. In Psalm 138, we're going to look at verse 1 and 2. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy youth, for thy truth. For thou hast magnified, look at me, thy word above all thy name. Ladies and gentlemen, that is pretty high praise in my book. God says that of all the things that you have available to you, my word should be number one on your list. My word should be number one on your list. Okay? Look at Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God in verse 8, well, really in Joshua chapter 1, is trying to get Joshua to understand that Joshua, Moses is gone. You have to lead Israel to the promised land. Now, Joshua, the same way I was with Moses, I am going to be with you. Take my word, Joshua. Take my word. And so then he says, when you can read verses 6 and 7, talk about just be strong and just trust me. Don't have any doubts. Be courageous. Then in verse 8, he says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good decision, good success. Good success means you're going to be making good decisions. You're going to be doing everything in line with what I want for you to do. This book of the law. Okay? I'm going through the verses because I want to get somewhere. John 6, 63. A verse we're very familiar with. Jesus has just talked to the disciples about drinking his blood and eating his flesh. And it was a message that was too hard for them to digest. You know what? I've been waiting all night for that. And I got nothing. Oh, man. Thank you, Stephen. In verse 63, it says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." You know, pastors told us many, many times that we need to start looking at the Bible as being life. We need to look at it as being words of life. Okay? "The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." Jump down to verse 68. After Jesus had said these things and the people started departing, he looked at the disciples and says, "Now, are you going to leave too?" And Simon Peter says, answered him, verse 68, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life." You have the word of eternal life. Okay? Chapter 14, verse 23. Chapter 14, verse 23. I want to go back to verse 21, please. Jesus says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, for us it is this book right here." Or as Andy Griffith would say, right here. This book right here, okay? "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me." Do you hear what he's saying, people? Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I say. If you love me, you will do what I say. So whenever we don't do what he says, what are we saying? I don't love you. But we will stand up in church and we will praise the Lord and say, we love you, Jesus. We adore you. We thank you for loving us. Blah, 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 blah. And then we don't keep his commandments. Jesus says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. You see, it's not enough just to have them. See, we got it right here. We got it. But he says, you got to keep them. You got to keep them. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He said that twice. Twice. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. Verse 23. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. He's still talking about loving him. So the first part he's talking about, this is an indication that you love me. Now he's talking about an indication that you don't love me. If a man love me, he will keep my command. Verse 23, verse 24. He that loves me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Jesus said, don't be mistaken, ladies and gentlemen. You hear me speaking, but these are really words from the throne room of my Father. My only job is to tell you what my Father said. That's my only job. So when you hear me talking, you're not hearing me talking, you're hearing my Father talking. These things have I spoken unto you, being present with you. I've gone too far. That's all I want to go. But the Father which sent me, okay? The second reason, ladies and gentlemen, that could be keeping us from being fully persuaded about what the Bible says, could it be that what is said about the Bible is still only head knowledge for us? Could it be that what is said about the Bible is still only head knowledge for us? I mean, we can quote Scripture very well. "For my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Yeah, he can do that. But is it here or is it here, Barry? If it's here and not here, it's head knowledge. It makes you sound good, Barry, but it's not manifesting in your life, Barry. And there's so many in the body of Christ, Barry can sound good, but he don't have to live it. And they still believe it. Imagine that. You know why? Because they are not living it. They are quoting it. They are doing the same thing Barry is doing. Knowing the word is not keeping it. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus just told us that. Could it be that what is said about the Bible is still only head knowledge for you? A question that I didn't put, that I added. Could it be we are hearers with itching ears? Could it be we are hearers with itching ears? I was thinking about all the messages that have come out in this pulpit this year. And I got to thinking about how many of those messages have I put into practice? Because, see, if you hear a message and there's something in that message that you're not doing and that you're not putting into practice, you got itching ears, ladies and gentlemen. You just heard something else that you really liked, and you walked out these doors and did nothing with it. That is itching ears. And I'm going to tell you, there are too many of us in this body. Our ears have been scratched for a long, long time. And we need to stop having our ears scratched, ladies and gentlemen. We need to start doing what we've heard. Don't you know that's why Pastor has been standing up and not telling us to pray for each other, but find someone who has a hand up, and then you start declaring healing over that person. We've gotten to a point. It's time to stop having itching ears. It's time to put into practice what we know. If we don't love Jesus. If we don't love him. I don't care how many times you say it. I don't care how many times you go to the grocery store talking about how much you love Jesus and you are a Christian and you are this and you are that. If you are not doing this, you are lying. Could it be we are hearers only with itching ears? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. The third reason as to why we may not be seeing the word of God manifesting in our lives. We don't see the Bible as being true. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 38. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The just shall live by faith, and if any man draws back from what? Living by faith. Draws back from not loving Jesus. My soul shall have no pleasure in him." Look in chapter 12, verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed," "about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily beset us." We have to lay it aside. "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15, we read, "But that on good ground are they which have an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it." Having heard the word, keep it. Having heard the word, keep it. The person who loves Jesus. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart and love Jesus. Because didn't Jesus say that if you love me, you will keep my commandments? Love Jesus. Having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. With patience. Look in James chapter 1. Look at verse. We've heard this word patience over and over and over, have we not? James chapter 1, verse 3. Well, James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant, a doulos, a bond slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And that every time we've read the word patience tonight, it's endurance. But let endurance have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We read in Hebrews, it says, once you have done the will of God, you have the patience to wait for it to manifest in your life. Okay? So a third possible reason why we are not fully persuaded that the Bible is truth, could it be that God is limited? Could it be that God is limited in his ability to move in our lives because we are not as far along? Because we are not as far along spiritually as we believe we are. I'll read that again. Could it be that God is limited in his ability to move in our lives because we are not as far along spiritually as we believe we are? Many of us have a view of ourselves spiritually. I have a view of myself spiritually, of where I am, okay? Now, I could go to Neil. Neil, and don't you dare answer this question. Neil, how do you see me spiritually? I would dare say that what Neil says is probably not going to be what Barry thinks. Because, you know, sometimes we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Let's be honest about it. Sometimes we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. So could it be that we are thinking more highly of ourselves than we should when it comes to being mature enough to do the Word of God and then wait for it to come to pass? So how do we change this? How do we get rid of whatever it is that's keeping us from fully manifesting all that God has for us? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do we build our faith? We know in Mark chapter 4, verse 14, it says, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. We know that from Mark chapter 4, verse 14. Now the question becomes, ladies and gentlemen, how do we sow the word? Let's look at four passages fairly quickly. It won't take long. And then I will set you free. Jeremiah chapter 15. In Jeremiah chapter 15, it's a verse that I truly love because I say it over and over again. It says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Now look at what Jeremiah says. Thy word was found. What is he telling us? You have to go look searching for it. You have to search it. You have to search it. And then once you search it, once you find it, you have to eat it. You have to eat it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how many of you had lunch today? Okay. When you ate lunch and you consumed what you ate, was it still on your plate? No. It had become part of you. It became part of you. Thy word was found and I did eat it. Thy word became part of me. Thy word was on my lips and now I speak it. Why? Because it is part of me. I have eaten your word. It is now part of who I am. And because of that, thy word is unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Why? Because I'm getting the benefits of having eaten the word. When you eat something, ladies and gentlemen, it becomes a part of you. One of the things that Pastor Davis said over and over again, the biggest problem that many of us in the body of Christ have is a word problem. We just don't have enough word in us. Thy word was found, and I did eat it. Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel's, well, I've always said that, haven't I? Saw the wheel? My Baptist is coming out. Look at, beginning with verse 6 of chapter 2. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, thou dost dwell amongst scorpions, be not afraid of their words. What is he talking about when he talks about briars and thorns and scorpions? He's describing the people. Because if he wasn't, why would he say, be not afraid of their words? Yeah, next time a scorpion talks to me, I'm out of here. And next time a briar bush talks to me, no, uh-uh. I'm history. He's talking about people. He's describing people. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks. Oh, yeah, a briar bush is looking at me. You want a piece of me? You want a piece of me? Yeah, no, uh-uh. Okay, I'm done with that one. Okay. Be not dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like the rebellious house. Do you hear what he just said? Hear what I say unto thee. In other words, hear and do what I say unto thee. Don't be a rebellious house. Don't say you love me and don't do what I tell you to do. Okay? But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like the rebellious house. Open thy mouth. Eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woe. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that which thou findest. What is he talking about eating, ladies and gentlemen? The words from the scroll. Eat that which thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat. Fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as a honey for sweetness. The word was in his mouth as honey for sweetness. He ate the roll. Okay? Revelation chapter 10. Look at verse 8 in Revelation chapter 10. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. Verse 9. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. Take it. Eat it up. Take it. And eat this up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Last one, Job 23. And in Job 23, we're looking at how to sow the word, because when we sow the word, it builds faith in our lives. And as our faith is built in our lives, then we will see the word of God more and more as being true. chapter 23, verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And we know in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, what does it say, Barry? Let's get there so I won't misquote it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration is theopneustos, and it means God breathed. It's the very words from God. The word, all the verses that we just read, when it comes to eating God's word, ladies and gentlemen, fat is where it's at. When it comes to eating God's word, fat is where it's at. God wants you to be huge when it comes to eating his word. Because the more of his word that you have on the inside of you, and the more of his word that you live by, the more of his word that you do not compromise on, the more you are showing Jesus that you love him. And the more that you show Jesus that you love him, the more of his love that can come out through you and touch the lives of others. Now, I know that this has probably been somewhat challenging because none of us, ladies and gentlemen, want to stand before the mirror and see that we have work to do, to see that we're not where we thought we are, we thought we were, to see that there are things in Scripture, that there are things that Scripture says that are really not a reality in us yet. And as I said before, there is nothing wrong with that as long as you acknowledge that, yes, I am not where I need to be. I need to get on a full word diet so that I can see the word living to its fullness through me. Through me. God tells the truth all the time. And if God tells the truth all the time, then everything in his word is true. Mm-hmm. Everything. Now, it is up to us to change our minds to agree with this. And the more we agree with this, the more God will be able to use us to touch people's lives. Amen? This is one time when it comes to the Word of God that ladies can be just like guys. We can all be fat. Because fat is where it's at when it comes to the Word of God. That's what he desires. That's what he desires. And when you are fat with the word, that's all that comes out of you. Remember when Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel? It's because that everything that came out of his mouth was the gospel. That he didn't know anything else. We need to not be ashamed of the gospel the same way. God gave us his word, ladies and gentlemen, because that was the way he could communicate with us best, to have his word. And then once we get born again, once we receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues as we read this word, he slowly peels back layers of truth the more we read it. Layers of truth. That's why he gave it to us, ladies and gentlemen. That's why he gave it to us. Never again let this book be on your mantle or on your desk, never opening it. Let this book be the first thing that you open in the morning when you get up. Let this book be the last thing you read before you go to bed. That's how you get meditation day and night. And the more you respect, the more you love this book, the more God is going to be coming out of you. He's going to be coming out of you.